Mom deserves better than a drugstore card. This Mother's Day, surprise her with a truly special personalized card from Moonpig. Add your favorite photos, a heartfelt message, and we'll even mail it for you the same day, all for just $5. From mom to grandma, we have something to celebrate every mom in your life. Every mom deserves a Moonpig card. Get 50% off your first card at Moonpig.com.
Moonpig.com.
This is a cash bar.
It's a cash bar.
To each his own.
Potomac is back. I am so happy that the Real Housewives of Potomac queens are back on our TV screens. I feel great. I feel grand. I feel alive. I feel like Celine Dion singing her hit I'm Alive in Las Vegas. I don't know if you guys ever heard that live recording. It starts off with her humming the song, and then she sings, you know, I'm alive. And then she talks to the audience throughout the entire song, and she's like, how you feeling tonight? How about over there? How about over there?
I'm alive. How you doing tonight? How about over there? How about over there? Oh, come on. Let me hear you all.
She just questions everyone in the audience, just singing, how about over there? Anyway, I encourage you all to listen to that song, but that's not the point. The point is,
I'm alive, and so are you.
The Real Housewives of Potomac are back, and I just loved the premiere. It opened very ominously with, like, broken glass, a first aid kit. Now, we know that there is a physical altercation between Candace and Monique. We don't know exactly what happens, and I know some people were worried that they weren't going to show it, like they might have edited it out. But it looks like we're going to see the whole thing, because in the previews for what's upcoming, we do see kind of, they give us like grainy VHS footage of the fight. And we see that one frame of Ashley watching it with like her eyes really wide. And that's how we all feel watching that trailer. But I'm so excited about this season. Again, I've heard so many wonderful things about what's to come. I hear it's a good season. And last season was fantastic. And I truly feel like it's having a moment. Like, I feel like because of this crazy pandemic we're all going through, I feel like a lot of people caught up with Potomac. And I've seen some really wonderful things online, and it seems like everyone's loving it. So I can't wait for us to dive in and recap the entire season. I'm not sure if I'm going to do separate recaps for Potomac or if I'm going to put them on the episode with the other recaps. Haven't quite decided yet. You know, we run by the seat of our pants. Is that the saying? What's the saying? I'm not sure. We'll figure it out. The premiere needed its own episode. It needed its own episode. So again, we open with that footage, like a horror movie, and Blumhouse wishes, because it's fantastic editing. And then we cut to 7 weeks earlier. Now, I normally hate when they do this, but this season, I don't know, I feel on board. It just feels fresh. Doesn't Potomac feel fresh? New York, Beverly Hills, they've been letting us down a little bit. Although I've been loving Beverly Hills, it seems like that's not the consensus. I don't know. That's the impression I get from the internet. And New York, of course, Alcohol, the TV show, is great in certain ways. But Potomac feels like it's going to give us an arc. We have characters that just feel fresh. And I wish on all of the franchises they'd change over the cast more than what they do. But Potomac, it's still, the cast is still giving it to us. And we met a new woman this week. And we also met somebody else that's a star. And of course, I'm talking about Monique's bird. So we cut to 7 weeks earlier, and we're at Monique's house, and she's got a new bird. Which I think birds are weird, I'll be honest, but she's got one, and she's treating it like a child. She's treating it more like a child than the newborn child she just had. And I want to take a little detour here. So fast forward if you're not interested, because we're going to veer from Potomac Housewives for a minute. And I got to tell you a story about my mom, Linda Pellegrino, and myself and a bird. Now, I've told you in the past about my mom has this bold-ass woodpecker. That's not what this story is about. This story dates back to my high school years. I have two older brothers. They were already off to college. I was the only one living at the house. It was fall, autumn, Ohio. Now, autumn, Ohio, a lot of people make wreaths. right? Like they go gather pine cones, leaves, and do homemade wreaths. So my mom was doing some wreath work this autumn. She was making, you know, she got the plain wreath from Michael's or Joann Fabrics, and she was putting some leaves on it, some pine cones from the yard, some ribbon, making a nice fall wreath for the front door. So she makes it earlier in the day, and she puts it out. Then, you know, I'm home from school. She asked me to go look at the wreath. She says, what do you think? Does it need more? Does it need less? So, you know, we go outside. We look at the front door. I see the wreath. It looks like something's going on in the wreath, but I didn't know exactly what. But I say, you know, Mom, maybe it needs some more leaves or something on the right side to balance it out, because it looked like something extra was on the left side. So, you know, I go inside and going about my evening. So my mom goes inside and she gets her craft supplies out and she's about to go put it on the wreath. So she goes to the front door and she opens it from the inside. And as soon as she opens it, I hear from the kitchen, I'm in the kitchen, I hear from the front door, "Whoa!" She's losing it, right? She loses it. She screams and I'm like, what's happening? Like, did a killer just come in the house? What's going on? And a bird flew in right when my mom opened the door. So that thing that I saw on the wreath, it was actually a live bird. Now, I don't know what kind of bird it was. Was it a pigeon or something like that? You know, a bird in Ohio. It wasn't like a falcon. It wasn't something. It wasn't a crow, but it was like a bird in Ohio. So my mom starts freaking, Dan, come here. There's a bird in the house. You know, she's freaking out. The bird goes upstairs, and there's a hallway upstairs, like in between the rooms on the top floor. And so my mom immediately, she goes to the kitchen, and she grabs like a big-ass pot that she would make soup in, and she grabs a lid for the pot. And she's like going to go catch this bird, like she's that fucking crocodile hunter or something. Like she's instinctively just grabbed the pot. Now I'm laughing because my mom is like at a level 11, like between 1 and 10, she's like at an 11. Like her eyes are crazy eyes like Ramona Singer. She's going to catch this bird even though she's terrified of this bird. She knows she's got to catch it, but she's terrified. She screamed when it came in the house. It flew right past her hair and up to the upstairs. Now we've never had a wild bird in the house at this point. We're not bird people. I think bird people, again, are weird. So we never had a bird as a pet or anything like this. And this is, again, a wild bird. So my mom goes upstairs and the bird's on one side of the upstairs hallway. And my mom goes after and the bird flies to the other side of the hallway. And as it flies, it goes past my mom and she flails her arms about as if she's one of those inflatables at a car dealership, you know, outside. So she's got the pot and pan, but she's like, she's going like her arms are independent from her body. And every time she goes to the bird runs to the other side of the hallway. It's not like it's a large hallway, but it's going to the other side. My mom can't catch it with the pot and pan, or the pan and the, or the lid and the pot. So I'm downstairs like this point, and I'm laughing because my mom's, again, hysterical, but I do know that I need to step up and help her catch this bird. So she yells, Dan, call the bird by the door. Just call it, do a, you know, call to the door, and maybe it'll come down. You'll open the door and let it out. Because my mom can't catch it in the hallway. So I'm by the front door. I have my hand on the knob, and I'm ready to open the door when the bird flies down from my bird call and let it out. But I don't want to leave the door open because I don't want any other birds to come in. At this point, we don't know how many birds are out there ready to fly into the house. So I start going, ooh, ooh, ooh. My mom's hysterical. She goes, Dan, it's not an owl. Dan, it's not an owl. I'm like, I'm sorry, Mom, I don't know other bird calls. Like, I didn't learn them in school. They don't teach us that in the ninth grade, how to call a bird out the fucking house. So my mom goes, okay, so, you know, I'll come down there. And so she comes downstairs by the door, and the bird's still up in the hallway. And she starts going, ha-cha, ha-cha. Now, again, that's not a bird call either. I don't know what the fuck she was doing, but she's just, ha-cha, ha-cha. I guess it was sort of like a mix between what you think a crow does. I don't know. Have you guys seen Schitt's Creek? It was like Moira in that movie, The Crow, or whatever that she does. The crow inning. But yeah, she's just going, ha-cha, ha-cha. And I'm cracking up, okay? And the bird's not taking the bait either. If anything, the bird's completely scared of my mom's call. And so the bird actually like flew into my brother's old bedroom. So they were, my brothers were out of the house. The bird flew in there. Mom, Dan, go close the door. So I run upstairs and I close the door and we lock the bird in the bedroom. So now the bird is in there and my mom and I are arguing over who has to go into the room and catch this bird with the big pot. Now, look, I don't like a wild animal. I'm not interested in birds, but neither is my mom. Now, I was a student. I was a high school student, but I was still a young kid. I wasn't that old. Yes, I was old enough to know what was going on, but I don't know that I was old enough to be thrown into the bedroom to catch this bird. So Maybe I should have stepped up. In retretrospect, hindsight's 20/20. Maybe I should have said, Mom, give me that pot and I'll run and catch the wild bird. But I didn't. I was scared. When I got up there to close the door, I was terrified. I was shaking out of my boots. So my mom had to go into my brother's old room and catch the bird. So she runs in there and I thought she wanted me to then close the door on her. I figured I'll let her in. I opened the door for her. I had closed it. I opened it for her to the bedroom. She ran in, and so I slammed the door shut. Dan, why are you locking me in here with the bird? She's going nuts now because she's locked in there with the wild bird. And I'm like, Mom, just catch it. If I open the door, it's going to fly out and we won't get it. And so now my mom's in a standoff. So a couple moments go by, and she's knocking on the door. And I open it. She's got the bird in the pot. She's got the bird in the pot. She caught it. She's holding the lid on it. And she is ready to go release it into the wild. So we're walking downstairs. You know, I'm kind of surveying and I'm guiding her down the stairs to make sure this bird doesn't get out of the, off the lid, you know, by the time we get it outside. And my dad's coming home. He's coming home from work. So my dad walks in and he says, oh, what are you cooking? And my mom's like, it's a live bird, Gary. As if he's supposed to know that, right? Like, no one's explained to my father that we just caught a live bird in my brother's old bedroom. But he goes, what are we cooking for dinner? It's a live bird, Gary. So then he's confused. He just knows at that point, you know, go to the other room and watch TV or something because, you know, we're busy. So then we open the door. We let the bird fly loose. The bird flies away. It was the most hysterical about, I don't know, 5 or 10 minutes of my entire lifetime. I mean, truly, the energy in that room, the adrenaline from a live bird flying into our house was through the roof. The next morning, I head to school. I look at the trash cans and I see the wreath that my mom made just sitting in the pile of trash, ready for the garbage man to pick it up. She threw it away. We were no longer celebrating autumn in our house, according to the outside, because my mom wasn't interested in hanging that autumn wreath because she was afraid it would catch more birds. And so that's the story of the Pellegrinos and the birds. And I'm sorry to take that little detour, but I felt like you guys needed to know. Because I think birds are weird. And here's Monique, back to Potomac, just treating this bird as if it's a dog. She put a leash on it, you guys. She had a leash for this bird. I've seen a lot of things in my day. I had a neighbor that used to put a cat on the leash. And I always thought that was strange. Who puts a leash on a cat? You don't walk cats in the neighborhood. You walk a dog. And maybe that's just a societal norm, and we need to change that. But I don't think we should be putting all these other animals in leashes. It's like kids on a leash, too. You know, you go to a theme park, and you see people with leashes on kids. When I was younger, that was a normal thing. That was a normal thing. I'm certain that at some point in my life, my mom put me on a leash. When I was 3 or something, I think that I had a leash on somewhere. But it's not normal anymore, and it's also certainly not normal to put a leash on a wild bird. I don't know if that was a wild bird, or do they call it a domestic bird? I don't know. But she put a leash on it, you guys. And she was potty training the fucking bird. She was potty training it. What? I was in shock. Were we not all in shock? My mouth was agape. I couldn't believe that she had the pee pads. Do they even sell was that a pee pad? You know, the pee pads they sell at the pet store for dogs that you're treating a puppy to potty train. But you don't do that for birds. I don't even think they sell pee pads for birds. Maybe that Monique needs to go on Shark Tank and start marketing them to birds. You should introduce it to Mark Cuban. Bethany Frankel sometimes guests on Shark Tank. You know, she's a housewife herself. So maybe Monique could sell that for 5% equity to Mr. Wonderful. And get her bird pee pad off the ground, the business. But, you know, I was shocked. I was shocked. And then she brings the bird over to Karen's house. And as she said, like, I'm going to bring it to Karen's house. I did even, before Karen said this, I was thinking, like, shouldn't you bring the newborn baby over to Karen's house? Like, maybe she doesn't care to see the bird. But nope, that's not what Monique did. Not interested. But I was so on the edge of my seat, excited for Karen's reaction.
Are you bringing it in?
Can I can get his cage.
Get the cage.
Give me a
cage. Monique, really?
Sure, you're sweet.
A bird on a leash?
You bought a damn bird and not the baby.
What the H-E double chopsticks
is going on?
Listen, I need an animal.
Father God in heaven.
And the reaction did not disappoint. She's like, what the fuck is that? Why did you bring a... She said, you brought a damn bird and not the baby. And then in her confessional, she said, Father God in heaven. Now, I'll tell you something. One of the things that the Potomac women do, I've seen Karen do this before. She gives a little prayer in her confessional, and I love when she gives a little prayer. A little prayer singlet, or I don't know what you would call it. But she said, Father God in heaven, in regards to the bird that was brought over to her house. And again, I was excited when this episode started. But when I heard Karen Huger, the Grand Dame of Potomac, do a little prayer in her confessional, I thought, we are back on track. The Housewives franchise is back, baby. I love it. It was back and better than ever. Father God in heaven, thank you. Father God in heaven.
Father God in heaven.
Karen's got a new house. It's stunning. I liked it. I liked it. Monique sort of shaded it, but I thought it looked good. But I did see when they went to the backyard, it looked like a deer was fenced in. Did anyone catch that? For a split second, I thought, was Karen going to have a pet deer? Because apparently normal pets are not a thing on this franchise after we met the bird. And so right behind the fence, it looked like there was a deer in the fence. Rewind it. Go back and watch it. There was a deer. And I thought, Huger's going to all of a sudden say, like, this is my pet deer. And she's going to be walking Bambi on a leash throughout the neighborhood. We all thought it. I thought, Father God in heaven, please don't let that be her pet. But it's revealed that Ray, Karen's husband, is not so happy that Karen started the fragrance line. He's not engaging with her. She says, Ray's ready to retire. He's in his 70s, but I'm in my 50s, Karen Huger says. So we're in different spots. And so we're being introduced to these problems between Karen and Ray. And I'm a little bit worried because I always thought they were very solid. She always stuck up for him. It seemed like no matter what was going to happen between them, it seemed like they were solid. But you know, maybe we're wrong. I don't know, Ray is going to have some problems with Karen. And I don't like when a man's not supportive. I know he comes from a different generation, but frankly, that's no excuse. We hear that excuse a lot, right? Like, this person's from a different generation, so they just are a bigot or whatever the, you know, thing is. And to me, it's like, you can't just be misogynistic because you're from a different generation. Like, you should just learn better. If you were misogynistic, maybe just take a moment and learn. You can't just excuse it because you're 70. So I don't know if anyone's out there listening and excusing things because they're 70. You can't just be set in your ways when it comes to misogyny. And so I wish Ray would just support the Grand Dame's fragrance. Somebody needs to. I'm not sure that audiences are supporting the fragrance. I don't know how many people have bought a bottle, but I don't imagine it's flying off the shelves, flying off the shelves the way that Monique's bird is flying off, you know, out of her house. But we then cut over to Giselle. Giselle's got a new house. She describes her decor as blingy. And I got to be honest, I don't care for it. I don't care for the decor, this blingy decor. But she's back with Jamal, the pastor, who she had been divorced from for 12 years. For 12 years. And he wasn't in the scene, and I was expecting him to just pop in. But I was a little confused. He doesn't live there? Maybe they said this, forgive me. I missed it, but I was confused. So he doesn't live there, but he was in Atlanta. So he's living in Atlanta, but they're back together or something. I didn't feel strongly enough about my confusion to go back and figure it out. But I was expecting him to show up. He didn't. The girls are very awkward about it. Now, he had cheated when the girls were young. And look, Giselle says in her confessional, I have faith in us going down this road, whether you guys like it or not. And she's basically saying that to us audience. Fuck you guys. I don't care what you think. We're getting back together. I'm worried about it. I'm worried for Giselle. I hope that this man treats her right and doesn't cheat again. I think personally you can get over things that happen in your marriage. I'm fully on board with people, forgiveness and moving forward and being different people. But I do worry, and I enter the future trepidatiously for Giselle. Then we cut to Candace and her event planner. She's planning this anniversary party. It's revealed that the cash bar for this anniversary is going to be $22,000. Now, Candace led us to believe that they were going to buy the cash bar. But it turns out we learn later that they do not get the cash bar, and so people have to buy drinks. And I am firmly in the camp of, if you have a big party, you should definitely have an open bar. I think you should spring for the money or don't have it. Now, if it's a really huge event, I think it's a little bit different story. But if it's an intimate event, an anniversary party, I feel like you should pay for the bar. Whoever's hosting should pay for the bar, I believe. And I feel that way with weddings too, no matter what size of the wedding. I think if you can't afford to pay for the bar, if you can't afford to have an open bar at your wedding, I think you need to wait a little bit before you have that reception. I think maybe wait until you do. Or have like a scaled down version of it, of a wedding. I hate when somebody has a big wedding and then a cash bar, right? I think if you don't have the money, that's fine. Have a small wedding. Have a tiny wedding where you can afford to give alcohol for free to the people. Scale it down. But don't have a 350-person wedding and a cash bar, because you should have had a smaller group there where you could afford to buy everyone some beer and wine. That's another option too. If you can't afford the liquor, just do the beer and wine. You know, that's my opinion. Sorry, anyone out there who did a cash bar, but I don't agree with it. I need to know that I'm being heard. Anyway, Candace, I was a little worried that she's having an anniversary party. I know it wasn't a vow renewal, which is the kiss of death, but I was still a little worried. I don't like when they do parties to celebrate the marriage afterwards. Again, just me, but she does say that she's not taking any money from her mom, Dorothy, which is good. Proud of her for moving. Candace said she would be in the bowels of hell before she takes another coin from Dorothy. So then we meet Ashley and baby Dean, her new baby. The baby looks exactly like Michael. And you guys, Ashley says in her confessional, she says, "Michael and I have had our fair share of problems that we've overcome." And she said it with a full ass smile. She said it with a smile. I saw teeth. She was smiling through that line. "We've had our fair share of problems that we've overcome." As if the problem was just like we didn't agree on the vacation spot, or he didn't take out the trash, or whatever it was. She was acting like their fair share of problems were so easy. And it was like she literally had to go on the news and talk about this man. He allegedly, groped a camera person or something. There were Grindr photos. There's been a lot of controversy around this Michael man. And he's seemingly a monster, and I do not care for him. But to act then like, "Well, we've had our fair share of problems, but, you know, we overcame them." To say it with a smile, I don't accept the smile. She showed teeth. Come on. Come on.
Father God in heaven.
Michael then goes, the two of them go, and they walk the baby, walking through the neighborhood. Michael said something about the baby being an actor, Dean. And then Ashley's scared of the squirrels and the spiders or something. She said, in regards to the spiders, that she's worried about the sharp claws. And I rewound it because I thought, was she talking about the squirrels? But I think she was actually talking about the spiders. And look, I don't love the wild animals either, as you guys know. But Ashley seems very filled with fear. And I'm sure a lot of new mothers feel that way too. What do they always say? Like, they don't give you a manual on how to parent kids. There you go. So then we catch up with Robin and Juan. Oh, guys, Juan, that beautiful specimen. He's so pretty. He's so pretty. I just, looking at him. But he's beautiful. Robin wants to get married to Juan. She asks, "When are we going to do this?" She's in marriage mode. They're leading us to believe that Juan is not, but then they were just fooling us. He said, "I'm excited to do this the right way." It seems like they're in love. Although the previews show something different. I want those two to be together. I worry more about Giselle and Jamal than I do about Robin and Juan. I think Robin and Juan are very cute together. And maybe he screwed up in his youth. And maybe I have rose-colored glasses on for Juan because I just think he's so sexy, but that's neither here nor there. We do have this scene at a bakery where Candace and Giselle get together. Candace wants to get some cookies for her thing. She says Giselle's the dessert queen. I feel like they've really tried to make Giselle and desserts happen because we had that scene where she baked cookies in the last season and the first episode she talks about baking. But then nothing's ever happened from it. Did Giselle, did I miss that? Did she ever come out with a line of desserts? Can we buy a cookie mix with Giselle on the cover of a box? Because I'll buy it. Take my money. Much rather that than skinny girl ham. Somebody get Giselle a dessert line. Where's it at? I'll buy some cupcake mix with Giselle on it. But I don't know where it's happening. Anyway, they try a bunch of stuff. It seems like they have some tension between them because they shaded each other's house. Candace reveals that she's not inviting Ashley to the anniversary party. Giselle had said, Candace, you've been pretty nasty about my home renovations. And then they flash back to that after show. And I like that they do those after shows because they've started flashing back and incorporating those after shows into the storylines on these shows. And I'm all for it because they do weird pairings for those after shows. And so you get a lot of like shady stuff. I think they did that on Vanderpump Rules too. But I like that they do weird pairings and then they flash back to it in the seasons. I'm into it. So then let's see. We're back with Ashley. She's feeding baby Michael. Or I'm sorry, his name's Dean. It just looked like Michael. Monique arrives. And Monique brings Chase, the cutest little baby I ever did see. Is that baby not the cutest? Oh my God, Chase. And he went on the potty, and they were also happy that he pottied. They were all so happy. They were cheering, hooting and hollering that Chase went on the potty. I was so happy for him. But Ashley reveals to Monique, look, I have a phobia about going outside. A phobia. And she said she didn't want to go. And I thought, you're ahead of the curve, Ashley, because in a few months, none of us would be going outside, unfortunately. But Ashley says that people are still making up things about her family. And look, I don't think everyone's like really making up things about Michael. And I don't know that we should say the family because it's all really Michael. And at some point, Candace either has to like admit some of these things are happening or get off the show. It seems to me like she sort of wants to be in the middle. She kind of still denies stuff. That's just my opinion. It feels like she denies. She denies what's happening with Michael. And yeah, they've confronted her a million times, but I don't feel like she's fully taken ownership of all of these allegations against Michael. And then she just wants to ignore them. And you're on a reality TV show, and I get that if you don't want to discuss your private matters about your husband hooking up with these strippers in a hotel room or whatever the newest allegation is. I get that if you don't want to discuss it, but then you need to get off the reality TV. Because as we know on these shows, people don't want to discuss their allegations and it ruins the programs. That happens on Beverly Hills all the time. It feels like on Beverly Hills, oftentimes we're not getting the real story. They focus on one other person, divert the attention. And we can't have that on Potomac. We can't have it on these other shows. So I just want us to all look out for that. Let's see. Oh, Ashley does, I want to mention, call Candace a hamster face. And what I really found interesting about this allegation is that the producers of this program, they did a split screen still of Candace and a hamster. And I don't know if I've ever laughed that hard when they showed that still screen of Candace's face next to a hamster. And it was so fucking rude. I'm sure. These women on these shows, they really do have to take a lot. They do have to take a lot of emotional abuse from these programs. And if I was Candace and I'm watching the show, you know, the women get their screeners early of these episodes. And if I'm watching the very first episode, and you know, these women are excited. They're like, I'm on TV again. Because a lot of, what do they say? Rich people, the only thing they can't buy is fame. So I think with Housewives, sort of the through line of all of these franchises is that these women, yeah, they are wealthy. And they don't need to be on TV, some of them. But they do anyway because they want the fame. And so imagine you're so excited. Those people are so excited to be watching the premiere of their show. And I don't blame them. They got a hit show on a cable network. And so Candace is sitting back. She's sitting with her husband. She's probably making some popcorn and enjoying her on-screen, the first episode back for the new season. And then suddenly, my bosses, her bosses, not my bosses, but her bosses, they all of a sudden put on a split screen of her face next to Hamster. What are you going to do? And I would go cry. I would immediately go cry if I saw my face next to a Hamster. I don't want to see my face next to any animals on a public forum. Certainly not on cable TV that millions of people are watching. No, ma'am. I would have called up producers right then and say, why'd you put the fucking Hamster's face next to mine? Did you really need to do that? Did the audience really need a visual of my face next to a Hamster? That's what I'd say. Now, I loved it as an audience member. It was a beautiful thing to see. But as the talent who's next to the face of a Hamster, I'm not sure I'd really care for it. And if it was another animal, any other animal would have been even more offensive. Could you imagine? What if on Orange County, when Slade was calling Vicky a pig face, if they did a split screen with the pig, did they do that? I don't think they did that. What if all of a sudden it's like Vicky's face next to Babe, Pig in the City, and she's watching the episode? They never did that. But here, they put up a screen with Candace and a Hamster face. What? I could not believe my eyes.
Father God in heaven.
But again, as an audience member and as a fan of comedy, I loved it. Loved it, loved it, loved it.
This episode of Everything Iconic is brought to you by Kleenex Ultra Soft Tissues, your ally to help tackle your allergy symptoms this season. Now, I'm not sure if you've noticed, but it's definitely allergy season. You all know I've been struggling a little bit. I usually love the springtime, but I struggle with my allergies, which are just not the most fun. But luckily with Kleenex Ultra Soft Tissues, the only tissues I like to use, I can say, bring on the blooms, and I can face those allergies head on. Now, Kleenex Ultra Soft Tissues are hypoallergenic and allergist approved, so you can attack watery eyes and battle runny noses without worrying about irritating your skin. That's why I love these, because they're so incredibly soft, and I don't want to touch my nose with something that's not. Now, I am obsessed with Kleenex. I think they are so really just the best to do it. So for this allergy season, grab Kleenex and face allergies head on. Again, this allergy season, do not pick up something else. Grab Kleenex and face allergies head on.
Candace and Monique talks about how her and Candace were super close, and then they fell out, but they made up again. They made up again, and they're really setting this up, this feud, this season-long feud between Monique and Candace, and I can't wait to learn more. So then we cut to the anniversary event. It's Candace's anniversary party. It's like a denim and diamonds party. Candace's outfit is insane, and I loved it. She had the denim boots, which were just flawless. Loved it. Queen Dorothy arrived, her mother, and it's revealed that they're not in a good place. Dorothy and Candace, not in a good place. But we do also meet Wendy, the new housewife, at this party. And look, Karen in her confessional, I was not expecting this, but Karen shades Wendy and says, Wendy and I have sat on boards together, been at events together, and I'm not impressed. Ugh, the little hairs on my back of my neck stood up. The thick, dark Italian hairs on the back of my neck stood right up, and I thought, oh, this is going to be a good feud. I'm excited for this Wendy and Karen dynamic, which I was not expecting. One of the things that's exciting about Potomac is, although we have heard about the Candace and Monique feud in the blogs and in the trailers, we don't know exactly like what happened there. There's been a lot of secrets with this season, and I feel like that's what's been problematic with like Beverly Hills Housewives. It feels like we know too much. And so I'm excited that we don't know a whole ton about, like, even this feud between Wendy and Karen. We don't know a lot about it. Giselle arrived in a blinged out jumpsuit. Let's see. Karen, Candace, and Giselle, they go chat. Candace says Giselle's perturbed by her. Now, this was a little confusing because now we got a little Giselle-Candace feud going. But they had just been at the bakery together, and they seemed like they had made up and been fine. So the timeline of this was confusing to me. But Giselle did say, Candace, look, you have Twitter problems. You get in front of that computer screen and you just go nuts. And I would just like to recommend that maybe Candace takes a step back from Twitter and social media and maybe just think, we could all do that. That's a lesson for us all, right? Before you send out something into the world, take a step back and think about it for a minute. We all do it, but Candace seems to do it way more than others. And that's troublesome. Anyway, let's see. Oh, Wendy says that she knows Jamal really well, Giselle's Jamal. And she says he's really into social engagement. We've marched together. And this is an interesting thing because it's setting up a little Giselle versus Wendy. I haven't been this excited about a Wendy's since that last time I ordered a Frosty and a cheeseburger off Postmates. I mean, I'm very excited about her. She seems like she's going to mix it up. She's just the addition we need. Now, Charisse is also at the party. Charisse, of course, was a former housewife. And I don't know, Robin's wondering why Charisse is there. And I'm curious if Charisse is going to be a major part of this season or if she's just going to come and go. It seemed like they were setting up something between Robin and Charisse because Robin was really shading her. And I don't know what that was about. I don't know. Oh, but we mentioned the cash bar. And I got to say, when Karen was trying to order a drink and Monique told her that it was a cash bar, Karen just said, to each his own. And it said so much without saying anything at all. And that's what Karen Huger is so good at. Queen icon legend, Karen Huger. She knows how to say so much in so little. She could say it with her eyes. She was saying so much with those eyes, just by that one line, to each his own. And I got chills. It was like Meryl Streep wishes. Karen Huger can say so much with so little. And I love her. Apparently Charisse has been facilitating nasty rumors about Monique's family. So that was a thing with Charisse that came up. I don't know, was Charisse trying to get back on the show? Maybe she was trying to like spice things up to get back on. I'm not sure. But Monique won't even reveal what those rumors are. So I'm wondering if they'll come back. I need to know what they are. In Monique's confessional, she's like, I'm not saying another word. And I needed another word. Needed it. So then Candace grabs the microphone. And I was hoping that somebody would sing a song. You know, on Potomac, oftentimes we get a song, either Candace singing something, or we get Ashley singing that coffee song. What was that song about coffee? I can't remember, but she's singing that coffee song that no one likes. Actually, I like it. I take that back. It's a good song. In terms of the Housewives song canon, I'd say it's towards the top. But Candace gets on the microphone. She thanks everyone. She says she has great people in her life who are married. She says, my two most biggest inspiration when it comes to marriages are standing right over there. And she points to Dorothy, the mom, and she points to Karen Huger. And so, first of all, Karen gets on the mic, and she's a little tipsy, I believe. And she said, right off the bat, she says, I'm so happy, Chris, you were able to make love to her, meaning her daughter. And that was troublesome. And then she said, I was married 35 years, but that was the span of two husbands. And that was just a brilliant line. I just really love Dorothy. I love Dorothy. More Dorothy on the show. I love her. She's loose cannon. Never know what she's going to say. She grabs that microphone. We don't know what's going to come out of Dorothy's mouth at any given moment. And that's what I like in a woman. And then she sang it. Candace folds up the tissue and cries into it. And everyone like makes fun of her that she folds up the napkin and cries. And this was a little like fourth wall breaky, because the only reason I think that these women know that Candace folds up the tissue like that and cries and dabs it in the corner of her eye, a very Kyle Richards-esque thing to do, it's because we've seen it on the show so much. So it was funny to me that they were acknowledging it. I loved that they were acknowledging it. And then Karen Huger is on the microphone and she says, my kids went off and I'm a businesswoman. And look, we're trying to figure this out. We're dusting off the institution called marriage, she says, regarding her relationship with Ray. And so look, Candace just introduced her biggest inspirations when it comes to marriage, and one of them's been married twice, and the other one is talking about on the microphone basically how it's her marriage is folding under. And so I hope that Candace gets some other people in her life that she can look up to when it comes to wedded bliss. But for now, she is looking at these two women who seemingly don't have all the answers when it comes to marriage, but who am I to judge? Marriage is tough. Marriage is tough. So I get it. Dorothy had to do two men. I get it. Karen Huger struggling with the Ray. I get it. It is what it is. But that's the end of the episode. This season, we get more of the bird. I'm very excited. They go on a Portugal trip. We get Karen in a parade. There's a sex party. It's revealed that Ashley has a tear in her anus, which I was surprised they put in the footage for the coming attractions.
I do have a tear in my anus.
Oh, that's a whole nother can of whoop ass.
It was not something that I would think I would if I was editing together the footage of what's to come on my season of a reality show. I don't know that I would have felt the need to include one of the cast members say, I tore my anus, right? I mean, talk about embarrassing. You know, I said Candace is watching. She's got to look at the still frame of a hamster face next to her own. And now Ashley, poor Ashley's got to just see a clip of her saying, I tore my anus. And I don't know that that was like the biggest storyline in her life that they needed to tease in the upcoming season. Plenty of other things going on with Ashley. Her husband allegedly cheats with these strippers, which they did reveal in the trailer. But I just don't know that they really had to go there. It really felt like just a knife in her back. And I'm sure she was sitting back and watching and thinking, I'm sure Ashley was watching this premiere episode when she got the screener and thinking she got out of it scot-free. It wasn't that bad for her. She looked pretty good in the premiere episode. A little delusional, but she looked pretty good otherwise. Until the coming attractions for the remainder of the season when she is revealed that she tore her anus. And I don't know. They did it, though. Those editors. What do you think? They had a conversation about it with the producers? Like, hey, should we put in the clip of Ashley talking about how she tore her anus up? Do you think that's important for the audience to know what's to come? Hello, Bravo audience. What's to come this season is Ashley tore her anus.
I do have a tear in my anus.
Anyway, I'm sorry to dwell on that. But we also see Robin and Juan in therapy. A little Wendy versus Ashley. Ray and Karen problems. Again, more Michael. It looks like a good season. I am on board. I am alive. I feel good. You guys, I feel good about where we're headed, about where we've been. I feel like I hope everyone's on board.
I'm alive, and so are you.
The gift that keeps on giving, and these women, I feel delighted by every last one of them. They've all given us something. They have all given us, I don't feel like there's really a weak link in the cast. Like maybe some could be better than others, but look, we have storylines with all of them. We have so many different layers of feuds being set up between all of the women. We have different alliances, shifting alliances. I mean, the footage of the big fight, of course, with Monique and Candace looks like it causes all sorts of shifting alliances. And we saw at the beginning of the episode, we see the women sitting down talking about that fight. And they said, you know, up until this point, we've been able to not play into the stereotype and we haven't been physical in this way. And so they are upset about it. And I like that they're having that conversation. I'm excited for all of it to play out. I just am excited is all. Anyway, you guys, that's the episode. We'll be back with recaps later this week of Beverly Hills in New York. I also want to say I did a recap of the very first episode ever of Sex and the City. I will be promoting this on the show. It was so much fun. I watched the pilot, the very first episode of Sex and the City. And I recapped it for Patreon. And we talked a lot about birds here today. And on that recap, I talk a lot about the pigeon lady in Home Alone 2, who's covered in bird shit. And it was an important time in history that I go over in more detail on the Patreon episode. But if you want to listen to that, I think I'm going to do more of the Sex and the City recaps because it was fun. And it seemed like people like them. So those will be at patreon.com/everythingiconic. And all you have to do to listen is donate $4 or more per month. So it is sort of like a subscription type thing. $4 or more per month, and you get access to all the bonus episodes. I do just one a month there. And more importantly, that money just helps to support this show. And I thank you, everyone who's over there. I thank you, thank you, thank you. I also want to promote the merch we have available. We have t-shirts. We have these Bedwine wine glasses that are so adorable. They say Bedwine on them. And they're really, really good quality wine glasses. And you can get those over at everythingiconic.store, along with signed copies, signed by me, of Fancy AF Cocktails cocktail book. And yeah, Cameo and all that stuff. Find me on social media at Danny Pellegrino on Twitter and Instagram. And let's take a moment to just relax and breathe before we play our little cheesy theme song. Let's all take a deep breath in. Hold it. Breathe out. Let's take another deep breath in and hold it. Breathe out. Let's take one more deep breath in, and I want you all to think about a pet you've had in your life. Maybe a dog, a cat. Breathe out. Now, hopefully most of you have had a pet at some point in your life, or maybe in the future you can have a pet. But I want you to just think about a good time with your dog, your cat. Maybe some of you have had domestic birds. I want you to think about a good time and just revel in that for a minute. Pets are so healing. And, you know, if you have a dog near you, a cat near you, just snuggle up with them today and let that heal you. Okay, I love you guys so much. Thanks for listening. Stay safe and bye-bye.
Raise your hands to the sky. All you have to do is try. It's all in front of you.
Mom deserves better than a drugstore card. This Mother's Day, surprise her with a truly special personalized card from Moonpig. Add your favorite photos, a heartfelt message, and we'll even mail it for you the same day, all for just $5. From mom to grandma, we have something to celebrate every mom in your life. Every mom deserves a Moonpig card. Get 50% off your first card at moonpig.com.
Moonpig.com.